Very good! Ed Berry on the buzzer! What an
Making big shots.
Davis to reply. Yes, he hits a three! 3 3-pointers in quick succession at either end of the floor. The Rocks have it now.
Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloan to the basket. Out to Oymaz. Sloan in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloan wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast, the podcast all about the Caledonia Gladiators. On this episode, we are joined on the show by GB squad member and Gladiators women's player, Kirsty Brown. Kirsty, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Awesome. The second year pro is having a standout season for the Gladiators as a WBBL side return for their third start to the season. GB is averaging over 8 points and almost 8 rebounds. A game play on average kind of 22 minutes for Miguel Ortega's side. Kirsty, how would you say the season's gone so far domestically?
It's been good. If you can remember when you last played. Yeah, it's been a hot minute since we last played, but no, I think we had a pretty strong start to the season. You know, obviously our game against Sheffield wasn't the game we wanted to have, but it kind of gave us a lot of things that we could focus on our own gameplay, and that's what we've really been working on in the last, you know, month and a half since we played that game. But yeah, just really looking forward to the second half of the season and getting some more games under our belt.
Yes, must be pretty frustrating. We kind of talked before we started recording, but it must be pretty frustrating for you and the team and the coaching staff as we kind of race into kind of the final part of the season. Like, there's been massive gaps, and now we're hitting a spell where it's almost like a game or two games every week until the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough, you know. Obviously everyone wants to play basketball to play. Practice is good, but you know, the games are really where the fun is at. But I think that's also going to be, you know, the good thing over the next four-ish months is that, you know, fingers crossed there's no more breaks in those 4-ish months, and we're just going to have a lot of fun playing a lot of basketball. So glad we've gotten through, you know, the long, really long start to it, but definitely excited to just play.
So let's go back to the kind of start of your kind of basketball career. We spoke previously about how you moved this from Scotland to the US when you were really young. But yeah, how did you get into basketball, and what other sports did you play kind of when you were growing up?
So I got into basketball when I was 11. So in the US schooling system, I was my first year of middle school. So sixth grade is the year. I don't know what year that would correlate to. But yeah, so I was obviously just very tall. I've always been very tall. And one of my friend's dads was the coach for my middle school basketball team. And so he was like, oh, you should just come play. I've never played before. And he was like, oh, you know, I think you'll be pretty good. You're athletic. You're tall. Might as well try it out. And tried it. And I was not outstanding, but, you know, I was pretty good at it. So, yeah, I played for my middle school for all 3 years. And then when I went to high school, I was fortunate and made the varsity level team, which was like the top level team at my high school my freshman year. Again, it was not my skill. It was mostly just my athleticism and my size, because I was the tallest on the team and I was also the youngest. But played that, you know, for all 4 years. And then when I was 16 was when I decided, okay, this is something, you know, I really want to pursue to play in college. And that was when I also joined a travel team and played in a travel team and really took it serious, started working with a trainer, doing all that stuff. So yeah, but I was a multi-sport athlete up until I went to college. So when I was in high school, I obviously played basketball, but then I ran track. I swam during the summers. I was a swimmer for 9 years. I played water polo for a year. I played lacrosse for 2 years. I played soccer for 5. I did softball for like 4 years.
What
I danced.
Did you play?
I literally like tennis and golf were like the only things I didn't play. I tried rugby out. Like I tried everything.
Wow. That's awesome. And yeah. Do you think that's what's kind of helped you as you entered kind of the final years of college and turning professional, that kind of all round kind of sportiness? Did that help you?
Absolutely. I think, I just think it's really important to try, you know, as many things as possible and find what you like. And I think trying all those things made me realize, like, okay, I definitely prefer team sports over individual sports, because I just love the camaraderie aspect of it. And, you know, now I have so many teammates who are basically like family to me, so many coaches who are just extended parents, and again, just more family to me, and the community that comes in with team sports. Not that it's not there in individual sports, but I just love it with team sports as well. And then I think it helped me on the injury side of things too, like playing so many different sports. I was moving my joints in so many different ways. And, you know, I was swimming. We were a summer swim team, because obviously California is very, very nice during the summer. But that was also a nice break from just like intense pounding on my body, is then I'm just doing my workouts in the water during the summer and, you know, giving my muscles a bit of a break there. So I think that helped, because as soon as I got to college and, you know, was just doing basketball, I definitely was a bit more injury prone in college, because I was just doing those same repetitive, the same sport the whole year round, you know, 10, 11 months out of the year. So I think it was super, super beneficial for me, for sure.
And for all those kind of sporting things, what kind of, who was kind of like your sporting role models growing up?
Oh, that's a great question. For me, it's always been my parents. Both of my parents were track and field athletes, so that's how they met. My mom was a high jumper and a long jumper, and my dad ran the 800 meters. And even now, you know, they're still athletic, and my dad plays soccer on the weekends on his, you know, adult team, and was always like all getting us out. And they were, you know, not always, they never forced us to do any sports, but they were always pushing us to just be doing something. And so I think for me, it was always, we still have all like their old shirts from all the competitions they went to. Like, we have all the pictures and videos from my dad ran at the Commonwealth Games and all that stuff. So that was always what I grew up around a lot. So for them, or for me, it was my parents.
That's brilliant. It was the thing I found quite hilarious was, I think it was on your Instagram when you put up that you'd gone home at Christmas, and obviously you've got an American accent, your siblings have, but your mum and dad have not lost an ounce of their Scottishness.
Nope.
It was when you surprised your mum, and I can't remember what she said, but it was just the broadest Scottish accent. I was like, that's quality. Yeah. So they've been, what, 20 years in America, I think you said to me last time?
I think this is 17. Almost, yeah, right. Almost 20. Getting there.
Not, does, the next question is, you said obviously your dad plays soccer. Does he now call it soccer, or is he still calling it football?
Yeah. Soccer. It has to be.
No, but it was just how broad both their accents was. I was like, that's amazing how,
yeah,
it's not gone.
Well, that's what it's always been so funny, because people that I know, obviously when I got to like high school and college and I was making my own friends and everything, and they would never question where I was from. They would always just think it was California. And as soon as people hear my parents, they're like, oh, where are your parents from? And I'm like, actually, we're all from Scotland. You just can't tell by my voice that I was born there and I live there, you know? People are like, no way. Or people will call me and they'll be like, I just want to hear your parents talk. And I'll just hand the phone to whoever's around and just be like, all right, just have a little conversation over there.
That's incredible. So I think from when I did some more research, it was like, you're the all-time leading appearances at Cal Poly. Is that right?
I am. Yes.
Cool. How did you enjoy your kind of NCAA kind of basketball career? And was it always the kind of aim to maybe turn professional after graduating?
So I loved my college experience. I was super fortunate with all the girls, you know, that I played with throughout my 5 years. My coaching staff that I had over the 5 years were amazing. And, you know, a lot of those girls, like I kind of said earlier, they're like sisters to me now. I still talk to them and see them every time I'm home. And I feel like sports in general, you know, they have their challenging points, especially sport and school together. Can be a bit of a mental challenge sometimes, but absolutely worth it. I had so much fun, so happy with my decision to go to Cal Poly. Would not change that for the world. And yeah, I was very fortunate to have played the 5 years. Obviously COVID was not a good thing, and you know, it was a struggle, but for me, I had the benefit of getting that extra year of basketball. I didn't have to sit out a year. I never had to redshirt. So I got that full 5 years, which was awesome. Got both my degrees, which was really cool. But I did not always know that I wanted to go pro. I actually, at the end of my fourth year, was unsure if I was going to use that COVID year and come back for my fifth year. And I had, my coach was amazing and gave me a couple weeks at the end of season before, you know, spring workout started, and was like, just do your thing, think about it, you know, kind of figure it out what you want to do. And I realized, cause I was, I was already in my master's program. Was a 2-year program, and I was like, okay, I know I'm going to be here another year. And thinking about it, I was like, I don't think I could just do it as a student. I don't think I would be able to like see basketball happening and not be a part of it. So ended up obviously taking that fifth year, and then wasn't sure about what I was going to do at the end of it. And then unfortunately, had my knee injury in February of that season. And that was my college career over. And that was kind of when I realized, okay, actually I'm not ready to be done with basketball yet. So, and once I knew the timeline for my surgery and my recovery and everything, it was feasible for me to be able to play, professionally, and, or at least, you know, coming up in that next professional season. So I was like, we're going to go for it. We're going to see, you know, if any teams will take a chance on me. And then got that call from Krumesh down at Riders, and they took that chance on me, and here we are.
I know. Brilliant. And it's always amazing that, like, you're saying how you were unsure of what you wanted to do, but it's the moment that you lose something. So obviously your injury, you lost basketball for that, and you're like, nah, I love it too much to give it up. It's almost as if, as humans, we need to lose something to say, no, you know what, I want to keep going. And that's exactly amazing that you then used that. Okay, let's look at the recovery time, and yeah, ended up signing for Leicester.
Yeah. And I think a big thing for me too was I'm a like total type A planner. Like I have my planner written out every week. I have my life. So I went into college knowing I was going to graduate early and stay and get my master's in 2 years after that as well. So, you know, I came in knowing that the next 5 years of my life were planned out more or less, but had a rough idea. And I think at the end of when I did my knee, I was kind of like, okay, I think I just need to not plan and just let things happen. And I think that was just a big lesson, you know, for me, because obviously I didn't plan to have that injury happen. But I think that's been massive for me, is just knowing, especially, you know, in professional basketball, you can't really plan out how things are going to play out and, you know, where you're going to be in the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years. So I think it sucked, obviously, but it was very good for me in terms of like, just let things happen. You know, you don't have to plan out every single aspect of your life for the rest of your life.
Brilliant. And you kind of, I was going to ask you a question kind of around about what do you see as your career trajectory, but you kind of just answered it there, like in terms of you like to be planned, but basketball is also basketball in terms of you can only go kind of so far.
Exactly. I think, I don't have a set number of years that I want to play or anything. I obviously, you know, have some like goal places I would like to play at some point, but I think I'm going to keep playing until I don't love it, because once you don't love it, you know, it'd be really hard to be away from, you know, family for so long and to be putting the hours and the mileage on your body that we do. So yeah, as soon as I, you know, it's what's the quote? It's like kind of cheesy, but it's, I can't think of it right now, but you have to, yeah, whatever it is, but like, I'm just going to keep doing it until I don't love it anymore. So,
yeah. So now you're obviously now into your kind of, as we said, second year as a pro and second season within the WBBL. What changes have you seen within the kind of WBBL, and what have you enjoyed about being a gladiator so far?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. I'll start with the second part of the question. Just the like atmosphere, the community that we have within the club and then outside the club, I think, the whole staff, you know, from the coaches and everything into like people that work in the club and everything are just so amazing, and they really love what they do, and you can tell like the time that they invest into doing things is just so good, and I'm so appreciative of the community that they have formed and that I get to be a part of and help grow. I think everything there, and then obviously girls are amazing, coaching staff is amazing, and I just think they really look out for us, not only as players, but outside of basketball, just always checking in and making sure that, you know, we're doing good mentally, things are going well where we live, you know, we're finding stuff to do, things like that. So I think just really taking care of us as people in general is awesome. And then within the WBBL, obviously, I think the biggest thing for me is just the game schedule. So having these breaks in the games. I was kind of saying to you earlier last season, I never really had a break besides that Christmas We got like two-ish weeks at Christmas last year, but international breaks I was playing in, and my team last year was in all the finals, so we didn't really have many weekends off. So just having so much of that time in the schedule this year has definitely been a bit of a struggle. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's just good competition, and again, just ready to play some games.
So I really want to touch on the kind of European adventure. You're obviously part of the squad that became the franchise's kind of first endeavour into European women's basketball. And obviously the club finished with a 3-3 record in the competition, ending in the round of 16 against a strong Hungarian side. How did you find that experience of competing? Obviously you'd played internationally against nations, but how did you find that experience of playing kind of European club basketball?
It was so much fun. I feel so lucky to have been able to do it. And like you said, to kind of make history and be that first Scottish team to go and do that and get those wins and everything. And I think obviously we were a bit tentative going into it, just not knowing what to expect. We didn't have many players really who have ever played kind of at that level. And so just getting to see that. I've had former college teammates who then went on to play on teams in Euro Cup, and so I'd kind of seen it through their eyes, but to get to experience that level of competition and that travel and just everything that comes with that was so much fun, and I am just so honored to have been a part of it. And you know, I mean, I felt like we really held our own, and people weren't expecting us, I feel like, to get any wins, and we went out there and you know, got three and made it to that first round of playoffs, which is huge. So it just really sets that bar high for us, and it's like, all right, next season beat that, season after that beat that, you know, and just really strong start.
And it was actually obviously the scheduling was very tough, because you again had a long preseason to obviously the first game got cancelled because it's supposed to be in Israel, so you basically played your first league game after you'd played your first European game, which is always like this, a strange kind of place to be, that you're actually playing internationally as such, or at European level before you playing domestically. But it was really amazing watching you guys, how you handled that and how Miguel rotated a lot, and actually it looked like you guys took advantage of that, especially against Benfica in that home game.
Absolutely, I think we were also fortunate in our preseason. We were able to go to Spain for a week and play a couple of friendlies out there, which I think was huge for us to just play somebody other than ourselves, you know, which was good, and just get some more of that chemistry under our belt. And then, I think that first game was a lot of just us like having confidence in the work we put in. You know, we'd been in like 7 weeks of preseason before that game, I think, something like that. So knowing that we'd really put in the work and put a lot of hours in the gym and on the court and everything, and just like seeing it all be fluid and come together just felt so good. So it was a good first game for us.
Yeah, and then obviously doing enough to get to the last 16. I'm not going to attempt to say the Hungarian side name because I'll absolutely butcher it. But you could tell like the difference was just really they had a lot of experience and that team had been together, and it just told the experience at that level kind of pulled through.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the first game obviously wasn't the strongest showing for us, but I think the second game we definitely were a lot more confident and, you know, really had our fight out there. And like you said, like that experience just kind of showed through, but I think that also shows us, you know, the work that we've put in now is great. And now it's just building off of that and continuing on. And, you know, that experience will be us one day. And we just got to keep working for it.
So, yeah, we're back to almost back to domestic action with kind of, just as we said, at least one game a week, it feels, between now and the end of the season, including the All-Star game. What can we expect from you and the squad kind of heading into the next kind of chapter of the season?
I think there's going to be just a lot of hunger, kind of like I said, just with these breaks and everything. We are just ready to play. We are ready to go out there and have fun and you know, our little team motto is we're going to go out there and eat the other teams. And I think everyone is just really chomping at the bit to get to play. So just expect us, you know, to come out there and have a lot of fun and really just, you know, try and take it to these other teams and get that silverware at the end of the season.
Do you think it's almost a case where that defeat to Sheffield actually then helps you stay focused at this part of the season to then hopefully, for the end goal of what the season would be?
Absolutely, I think so. And yeah, I think it's just gives us a, what's the word I'm looking for? Just not all, not an edge, but just like we're not taking a loss like that again this season, you know, like it gives us a little kind of chip on our shoulder. And, you know, we don't want to play like that. We don't want to lose like that again this season. So we're really going to keep that in the back of our minds going into every game, but know that we're just going to come out fighting every single game, no matter who the opponent is.
Yeah, and I suppose Sheffield didn't obviously play in London a week or so, two weeks ago. And mm-hmm. that Sheffield game, that was probably the hardest game of the domestic season so far. Obviously, we've had blowout wins against Cardiff, Durham, Newcastle, Nottingham, I suppose, as well. And then just, I suppose, allowed you, okay, next time we play Sheffield up at Playsport, we'll put them back in their place, hopefully.
Exactly. That's the plan.
We've got the All-Star game on the horizon, and so far you have a decent return in the vote. How far? How does it feel to potentially play in like a WBBL All-Star game if you are selected?
It's super exciting. I mean, I'm honored so far by all the votes that I've gotten. I was not expecting that. So, you know, to see that return each week is amazing. And I'm just very thankful for all of the fans here and back home, you know, that vote for me and, you know, vote for the rest of the team too, and get some more people up in that starting lineup and in that game. But yeah, I think it's really cool, you know, what the league is doing and putting this on. And I think it'll just be a lot of fun.
Brilliant. KB, good luck for the rest of the season, or the restart of the season again. I hope it goes well, and yeah, we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.